In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. So how many of us all have trials that we go through, circumstances that are contrary to what we like and experience, fear that tries to come against us, obstacles that try and come against us? But you know, even Jesus said that you are going to have trials and tribulations in this world, right? Because he knew what this world was about. He knew the enemy was in this world. The enemy's trying to sow fear. He's trying to sow discord. He's trying to sow sickness and disease. And he's trying to sow depression. He's trying to sow all these different things. You know, poverty and lack. He's trying to sow all those things. That's of the enemy. But you know what? God says, that's all right. Be of good cheer. I've overcome them all. I've overcome them all. So if you live in Christ, you've overcome them all. Amen. But that doesn't mean it's all in you. It's all in him because you're abiding in him. Amen. So in the middle of the circumstances, in the middle of things that are going on in this life, I'm just going to declare today that yet will I praise him. I don't know about you, church. I don't know if you're going to go with me and Pastor Ken, but yet will we praise him. Amen. Now, we've been talking about that when we went to Rhema for the Winter Bible Seminar, there was just some things that were just refreshed in us, stirred in us of what we were taught. And we're not going to back down from teaching the whole truth of what we've learned. Amen. But we show you the word. Amen. Because it's all about backing it up with the word. Am I right? Come on. Well, what do we say? We say it's about seeing the scripture. Amen. Come on. Give us the scripture. Right. But the thing is understanding what it says. And a lot of times people, they don't even, it was amazing that my mind is going on so many different levels here. So Holy Spirit, help me. Because I start to say one thing and then another thing comes. But so many times what happens is that people of God, ministers of the gospel, we want to share the truth. And we know what the truth is because we experience it in our life. But if it's a little beyond, it's a little, woo, okay, this is a little different. Even if it's in the word. They don't share it. Not us. I'm going to tell you right now, not PK and I. We will share it. But they won't share it because of fear of people, what they might think. Or, oh, this is too way out. This is too far out. This is too spiritual. Or, woo. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to do that. This makes me uncomfortable. So I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. But the thing is, am I accountable to you? Or am I accountable to God? You know what? I'm to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. Remember the disciples said that? They said, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Quit spreading all this stuff and healing and all this. And they said, who am I going to listen to? You or God? Therefore, I'm going to keep preaching Jesus. That's what they said. And unfortunately, they kept getting in trouble. But it's because they're like, I don't listen to you. I listen to God. Amen? So we listen to God first and foremost. He is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I'm not saying, just so you know, I'm not saying that we don't listen to authorities here on this earth that are helping to keep order. I'm not saying that. But when they say you shouldn't worship God or you shouldn't preach and do what we tell you to do, that's where I draw the line. Like, no, yet will I praise him. Amen. So why don't you go with me to Acts real quick. Because I'm just going to give you another weapon in your arsenal. Ooh, another weapon, spiritual weapon in your arsenal today. Come on. Yes. Now, I'm just going to tell you, some of you might, as I'm teaching, I want you to have your hearts open and ready to receive what God says, what God wants you to hear online. Have your heart open, ready to receive what God says. Hallelujah. What you see in the word. And be surrendered to him. How many like to be free? Hallelujah. Amen. Freedom is a good thing. I like freedom. I like order though. I like freedom, but order helps me have freedom. I don't know if ladies, if some of you are like that, if you're, if your house is in order, it brings freedom to you. Like, if your kitchen's in order, it just depends on what, you know, if your kitchen's in order, sometimes like things are organized and you know where things are at, it makes you feel more free to cook, right? To do certain things. Okay. Well, God is a God of order, but he's a God that also flows and he wants freedom. Amen. But his word shows his order of things. And so we're going to look at the word today. Yet will I praise him. We're going to start with Acts 16. And And is that the New Living or what is that one in? New Living? Okay. Then I'll read it. I need it. I didn't tell you Amplified, did I? Okay, I might not need it, actually. We'll see. Okay, so it says in, this is about Paul and Silas. And they ministered, they came in and ministered in this area. And there was a demon-possessed girl who was a fortune teller. And she was there was masters over her. That's where, look at, already we have, what do you call that, slave labor right here. They, you know, they used her to make money, okay? She was possessed, demon-possessed, but she was telling fortunes of people through demonic spirits. Because there is a difference. There's a familiar spirit that operates through people, and then there's the Holy Spirit, okay? So, but she was operating through familiar spirits, but they were making money off of her, right? And so when Paul and Silas came into town, she was shouting, "These are the men of God, follow them," and she was like constantly, "These are the men of God, follow them." That would get really annoying, you know what I'm saying? I'd be like, And I've had people do that before, where they are constantly cheering, and but you can tell it's almost like an annoying spirit, an antagonistic spirit. You know, it's just like, and so you want it just to be quiet because it's bringing distraction and disorder. And so that's what was going on here. And so finally he gets fed up. Paul does. And he's just like, this is in verse 18. He says, this went on day after day. And Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. And there went the hopes of all the master's wealth. You know, he's like, ah. So he was really upset and annoyed and angry. And so they quickly took Paul and Silas. They formed a mob and took Paul and Silas into the city officials and said, and this is what we see this happening today. They shouted to the city officials, "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us and for Rome's. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." They never said anything. They never did anything. It was a false accusation. We see this in our world today, am I right? Come on, church. All these false accusations. They brought false accusations and stirred up a mob or a riot, whatever you want to say, and quickly formed against Paul and Silas. And the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten and then they were thrown into prison. And a jailer was ordered to watch over him and not allow him, you know, to break, to make sure he doesn't escape. So they put him in stocks and chains. Verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining and they were frustrated, but they began to intercede and they began to just weep and cry and fasted for deliverance. Oh, it doesn't say that? Oh, but people do that. So okay, so what does the word say? That's right, Heather. What does the word say? Anyways, like I didn't know that. But just wanted to get your attention. So around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Praying is just communicating with God. It's also, praying also means declaring what God says. So Paul and Silas were praying. They were communicating with God and they were declaring God's goodness in his word, and they were singing hymns to God. That word hymns actually means praise. It means that they were singing praises to God. In the Hebrew, it's halal, and it means to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, to celebrate God, even to the point of appearing foolish. Wow. Come on. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to maybe stir up some religiousness in here, because when I come into this, I know that there's going to be some things that are going to be like, I don't know about that. That's making me feel a little uncomfortable. That's okay. If you want God's best, relax and let the word speak to you. Amen. Just don't listen to the enemy. Listen to the word. Amen. Listen to the word. We don't go by traditions of men. We don't go by traditions of men, but we go by what the word of God says. When we trust the word, then freedom comes. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on. We're not going to allow bondage to stay. Hallelujah. Where the word is here to prevail in freeing us. Amen. So even to the point of appearing foolish, that's what they were doing. They were praising God. And it says the other prisoners were listening. Wow. The other prisoners were listening. Praising God is about lifting him up above your circumstances. It involves remembering things he has done in your life, thanking him for his many blessings, and rejoicing in his goodness. When we praise God in this way, it begins to shake off things, right? It begins to shake off things. Because look, this is what happened then in verse 26. It says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake after they began to praise like this. They begin to praise, and suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of bondage of every prisoner fell off. Come on. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself because he thought, oh my gosh, this is it. My life's over. We've all been in those places like, oh my gosh, I don't even know anymore what to do. To the point at the end of our rope, right? And he was at the end of his rope, he felt. Come on. But Paul shouted to him, don't stop. Don't kill yourself. We are all here. It's going to be okay. And then in verse 30, then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? When you praise God like that, yet will I praise him in the middle of my circumstances, no matter what's coming. No matter what it looks like in this world, no matter what it looks like in my life right now, yet will I praise him. Yet will I lift up my praises to him. Yet, Father, no matter what's going on in you, you may be like, what's going on in me, God? What's this struggle? What's this thing going on in me? God's just trying to free you more from bondage. Let him do it. Don't struggle against him. Allow him to remove it. Come on. Let the praises of God start declaring the praises of God and allow that to come and free you more and more. Amen. When praises go up, blessings come on down. Amen. I mean, even though the kingdom is in within you, you can release the blessings out of you. Amen. Glory to God. But when we praise God, there's a presence that the Holy Spirit brings upon us. Amen. Come on, let's look at Psalms 111. So is it scriptural to praise God? Did they praise God back then? I don't know. Yeah, let's look at that. It says, praise the Lord. The very first thing it says, praise the Lord. The very beginning of the chapter, praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. Amen. How amazing it says. Can you back up one more? Two. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Come on. See, when we're praising God, when you praise God, you are declaring his goodness. You are declaring his works, remembering everything he's done for you, declaring that you are a powerful God, that you are mighty to save. I thank you, Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you shut the mouths of lions, then you'll do it today. God, if you defeated the enemy back then, you defeat the enemy today. That's praising him. When you go around your house saying, God, you are faithful, you are good. What you did for you, healed me back then, you heal me today. God, I thank you, you brought me out of debt, because God did bring out Ken and I out of debt. Hallelujah. Out of a bunch of credit card debt. There was just, you know, we were learning. Okay. But he brought us out of that into freedom. And we manage our money so excellently today. Praise God, because he taught us, right? So it's never too late for you. God is faithful. He is good. And you just praise him. You continue to say, God, I thank you for what I have. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you've delivered my family member here. I thank you for this happening. I thank you that you freed me in this area and then in this area. You just keep declaring the goodness of God and rejoicing and declaring the scripture of what he's done and what he continues to do today. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 3. It says, everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. Come on, there's a plug for Pastor Ken. Verse 4, he causes us to remember his wonderful works. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. Amen. Can we agree with that? Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalms 9. I got an arsenal of scripture today. Write them down to do it fast. Psalms 9, 1 and 2. Okay. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. That's what they were doing, Paul and Silas, when they were in those chains. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell all the marvelous things you have done. I'm telling you right now, the Jewish people, the people of Israel, the Israelites, back in the day, when they celebrate, man, it's all on. I mean, they celebrate with music and dance, and they declare things over while they're celebrating. They all stand up and declare the things of the Lord. And they all say yes and amen. And they shout and they praise and they rejoice. I mean, when they celebrate, they celebrate. You know what I'm saying? But what do us do? Praise the Lord. He healed me. Set me free. Yeah, I can see that you're set free. So anyway, I mean, I'm not saying that we all have, I know, personalities. But sometimes we've got to say, God, Holy Spirit, have your way, because he'll break through. He'll break through your personality and let you be challenged a little bit. He will. He will. But you've got to allow him. You've got to allow yourself to feel uncomfortable. But good news, I'm not saying you have to do it in front of me right now. Right now. Maybe a little bit. No, just kidding. But I'm giving you this so you can do it at home. Come on. Because this happens, what I'm going to share with you today happens a lot of times in my times with the Lord. Okay? And I haven't even gotten there yet, so I got to hurry. Whew. Okay. Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of the marvelous things you have done. Continue on. I will be filled with joy. I will be filled with joy. Remember that. I will be filled with joy because of you, God. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. So remember that, filled with joy. Amen. Romans 15:13 in the Passion Translation. All right, Bill, come on. Where's the guns? Now may God. I said, you better be quick, brother. He's like, oh, well, I'm like, okay, you don't know. Now may the God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing. Come on, church. Fill you to overflowing. Fill with joy. Fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy. Come on, uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his super abundance until you radiate with hope. Woo, come on. Filled with joy, filled to overflowing with uncontainable joy. What could be uncontainable joy? What would that look like? Uncontainable joy. Filled with joy, uncontainable joy. When we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with his joy, we become strong and free. Amen? Amen? But you're like, yeah, okay, well, how do you know if you're full? Glad you asked. All right, so 1 Peter 1:8. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious triumph, heavenly joy. Hallelujah. Inexpressible and glorious joy. Come on. Hallelujah. Inexpressible there means not capable of being uttered or described or conveyed in words. Wow. So much joy, you don't have the words to describe it. So much joy that you can't even declare it with your tongue. You can't form words. There's just so much joy. So what's going to come forth then? What's going to manifest if you're full of joy? I don't know. Let's look and see. How does the Holy Spirit use the joy to free us? Let's look. Okay, so I'm going to just share a testimony real quick with you that I experienced it when I was in Bible college, but in my life where it became I realized it's such a weapon that God uses to free people. It's a tool that he uses to deliver people from fear, deliver people from depression, deliver them from maybe things that they've had in their life that's gotten pushed down deep. You know, and we don't even realize it's there, but the Lord allows it to free us, break it up and come forth and free you of it. Layer by layer, he frees you from those bondages that the enemy tries to shackle you with because of perceptions or things that enemies put on you. But when you yield to the Holy Spirit to fill you with joy, where it's inexpressible, you're just uncontained with joy. When you allow the Holy Spirit to do that, there's a freedom that comes. when you express in the way he wants you to. But in this testimony, what I was going to share with you is I went through a time when Ken and I started the church where the enemy tried to keep me in a state of depression. I know Ken has too. I was in a state of, you know, depression because I came out of everything I knew in ministry. And then the Lord brought us here. And I knew, the Lord confirmed it, because I don't like to go unless God tells me. So I said, well, I'm going to God to see about this. And it was a confirmation to me that we were called here, right? But because we were, just because you're called here doesn't mean everything's going to go peachy keen. Did you know that? The enemy is not going to just stand here and go, oh, they're going to start a church. Oh, well, I guess I won't bother them. No, he's going to try and stop the power of God, the anointing of God, and what he wants to do, right? Because this church is called for a certain type of people. We're called to train and raise up warriors. Come on. Soldiers of Christ. Amen. That do the things that God has called them to do. And they won't back down. They won't quit. They want the word. They want the truth. And they take it and they walk after it. And they act it and they pursue it. And they live it. Amen. But we're also patient enough to know we're raising people up. So it takes time. It takes time. We love on them and we're like, oh, yeah, you made a fall, but that's okay. Get back up. Let's go. But we're going to give them the purest of the word. We're not going to give them, I'm going to mess with Ken. I'm not going to give them Nutty Buddies that has lots of stuff in them. Little Debbie snacks. I know. They taste real good, but they're not real nutritious. We're going to give you a lot of veggies and a lot of meat, a lot of good stuff. That's going to give you good foundation for your life, amen? And you're going to see good effects in your life. You're going to see blessings. And when hard times come, because they're going to come, but we're going to give you a strong foundation and tools that will help you to overcome the enemy's tactics, amen? All right. So anyways, when I go through that place of not trying to say, God, who am I? I left everything I knew, all the things I was doing in ministry overseas and discipling women and young people and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, who am I now? I was trying to figure out what my place was when we were starting this church, right? And so I got to this point where I was like, I don't even want to do ministry. I was telling Ken and I would just cry. And he's like, Jesus, help her. No, he prayed a lot for me, but I'm just saying. And he was touched when I... But I knew, I was not expecting him to fix it. I was like, I know God's got, I even tell him, I know the word. And I was like, I know God's got this. I know God's got me. And I will never, ever not walk away. I will never not live for God. God is my everything. And I told God that. I'd go times, like that thing up there I was saying, you know, I would pray to God and say, God, I don't know what's going on. I know that you love me and I love you and I'll never walk away from you. I just don't understand why I feel this way and who am I? And I was just talking to God about all this kind of stuff. And I remember the Lord, distinctively told me, he said, Heather, all I want you to do is I want you to praise me. I want you to praise me today. I want you to go there and I want you to praise me. I want you to declare certain things that I tell you to declare. And I want you to praise me. And I want you to rejoice in my goodness. And so I began to do that. And I didn't feel anything the first day. I didn't feel anything the second day. I don't even remember exactly now, but I knew it was just a span of maybe a week or two. And all of a sudden, there was one day that I was praising and he was telling me to declare certain things. And then just out of this, he said, now I want you just to laugh at the enemy. You laugh at him because his destruction is here. And I just began to laugh and laugh and I began to shout for joy and rejoice. And there was a change that day. And from that day forward, it was just better and better. And I came out. But I'm telling you, there was something that hit when I yielded to that. When I yielded to that uncontainable joy, and I began to laugh. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit brought a holy laughter. Why do I say a holy laughter? Because I believe the Holy Spirit used that laughter. It was set, holy is set apart unto God. It was a holy laughter that was set apart by God to free me. To free me from the lies and the tactics and the bondages of the enemy that's trying to hold me back for pursuing what God told me to do. You know, and if we don't allow God to set us free, then we're stopping the progress of somebody else being free. Because there's somebody in your influence that you're going to set free. But until you're free, how can you set other people free? It's hard. I'm not saying you can't do it. You can give them the truth, which will help them. But until you experience freedom yourself, how can you explain it to them? It's like, oh, you can be free. I'm not, but you'll get there. It's like, okay. It's like a a parent saying, do what I say, but not what I do. It's contradicting. Okay, they learn by what they see as much as by what they hear. Actually, more so by what they see than what they hear. So if you're not experiencing freedom in your life and walking it out, then other believers are going to be like, well, they're not any more free than I am. They just say things that it's not really operating in their life. But when you're walking it out, when you're living it out and they see it, you're going to set people free. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit brought a holy laughter that set me free from the lies of the enemy. God has used laughter in my life many times. I come down to church and I pray over the body of believers of this church, the body believers of the difference. And there's times the Lord will just say, you know, I want you to pray over people. And then all of a sudden this bubble forth, just a laughter. And you'll be like, yeah, laugh at the enemy because he's saying this and this about that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just like, you're such a liar. And I just begin to laugh. And when I just yield to a little bit, it's like this bubble of uncontainable joy starts to just bubble up. And then I'm just laughing. And then it's like, I just feel so free. And that happens for my life and others. Amen. Okay. So God has used laughter, led by his Spirit, to bring freedom, to remove heavy burdens from my life. And I've seen it in other people's lives too. Amen. So is laughter in scripture, Heather? I mean, have you seen that? Well, let's take a look. Psalms 126. Psalms 126, 1 through 3, and that's the Amplified. Ooh, well, I don't have a Bible, so I'm waiting. Okay, here we go. Challenging my media. You just wait, Jeremy. No, that's okay. Unto you do I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in heaven. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master. Whoa, that ain't right, is it? No, wait. Okay, let me just read out of the New Living. It's Psalms 126, 1 through 3, but I was thinking the Amplified. Okay, so if I'm running a little late, it's not my fault, people. I'm just giving Bill a hard time. Is it up? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay. So when the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dream it. Seems so unreal. I don't know. Something's not right here. It's not you, Bill. Maybe I gave you the wrong. Okay. Dream it seems so real. Okay. There were our mouths filled with laughter. Okay. Then our mouths were filled with laughter. Okay. Can you go back to one? My bad. I'm sorry. When the Lord brought back to the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dream. It seemed so unreal. Next. Yeah. Then were our mouths filled with laughter, and our tongues were singing. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And he has. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Amen. So they were filled with laughter. Hallelujah. Because of what God was sharing with them and speaking to them and showing him his goodness. Amen. They were filled with laughter. Hallelujah. Oops, I turned my page. Okay. Proverbs 17:22 in the Passion Translation. I'm sorry. It's just great because Bill's like, geez. Oh, Bill, I love you. Praise the Lord for Bill. Okay. Joyful, cheerful heart. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. It does. Did you know? You can look it up. Google it. It is true scientifically. Because I looked it up. A long time ago, and I looked it up again before this message. Proven fact that laughter brings healing, and it releases those good endorphins that bring healing to your body. And it says laughter is very good. Cheerfulness is very good. So how do you know somebody's cheerful and joyful a lot of times? They're like, That's one way, right? Or they're ha ha ha, they're laughing, right? So they're quick to laugh. Joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. Wow. Come on, is that revealing some things? You know, now listen, I know some of you, there's some of you that I'm not going to reveal. You know, we all have different personality traits. Some personality traits, they have that more negative, you know, they go the negative way instead of more the a positive way. But that doesn't mean that God can't, he can still flow through you. It's just the enemy. He's just the enemy trying to, you know, bring that further. But God can change that about you. He can bring that cheerfulness. He can bring that joy. He can bring that outlook of hope. Okay? God can bring that. So it doesn't matter if you're one that's more optimistic or one that's more, you know, the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. Whichever person you are, God loves you and he can still bring the joy through you. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, one more scripture. Yes. Luke 6:21. How filled you become when you are consumed with hunger and desire, for you will be completely satisfied. How content you become when you weep with complete brokenness, when you surrender to the Holy Spirit and you say, God, I'm sorry. You're repentive, and also that you're just like, I'm yielded to you, God. I need deliverance. I need you to heal me. A complete brokenness before him to say, not my will, but yours be done. Amen. How content you become when you weep with complete brokenness, for you will laugh with unrestrained joy. Come on, unrestrained joy. Woo-hoo, glory. When you have a yielded spirit to God and you say, Holy Spirit, I need deliverance. I need you to change me. I need you to set me free, and I yield to you. Go ahead, do the surgery in me. Go ahead, Holy Ghost, stir me up. Go ahead, remove this from me. Then allow him to, amen, however he sees fit. If he starts saying, I want you to laugh, if he starts saying, I want you to shout for joy, then you need to do it, church. Come on. If you don't because you're uncomfortable, then you're disobeying the Spirit of God. But not only that, you are not getting free. One less thing you're free of. And God's like, just do this. This is what I want you to do. And you're like, oh no, I'm not going to look foolish in front of people. Appearing foolish, it said, right? Praising to appearing foolish. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I might appear foolish. Oh, so you're a man pleaser. Okay. Got it. Okay. Well, then that's what you're going to get. You're going to get man's approval only. All right, moving on. Okay, Jesus. Joy. No, I'm just kidding. Gotta have a little joy now. Okay, so the word tells us that God uses a joyful, cheerful heart to bring deliverance and healing. We saw it in the word. Laughter is one of the manifestations of joy that we can allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with as we praise him. Amen? All right. So, you know, you might say, okay, well, right, Heather, whatever, but I don't know. I just still don't know. I know it shows in there that people laughed and that it's good for you, but I don't really see anything about if God would approve of laughing, you know? Okay. Well, let's go to Ephesians 5:1. I hear you. Ephesians 5:1. Let's see what it says in the Amplified. Ooh, snap, Bill. You're on it. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. Okay, so I get it. We're to follow after God, right? He's our father. We're to copy him. We're to imitate him, right? So as a child, we'll follow his father, just like Elijah when he was younger. He would copy some of the things Ken did and in school, and then we get reprimanded for it. You know. And they're like, would you please tell your husband not to tell him that he's a punk? Not to use that word, because now he's calling people punks at school. And so I'm like, Ken, jeez, help me, Lord. No, I was kidding. So anyways, but, you know, because they're going to follow you. They're going to act like you. They're going to say things like you. So what you don't want, if you see things in your life that you don't like, you better start be changing that and operating in a different way, because they will follow in it. Amen? That's all right. God's got you. He can change that in an instant. Hallelujah. He changed a lot of stuff in me. I'm telling you, I'm here to say. I've come a long way. Okay, so it says to follow him. So let's see what God thinks of it, right? Let's see what the word says that God thinks about laughter. Okay, so we want to follow God and what he does. I want to be just like my Abba Father. How many of you want to be like your Abba Father? You want to be like your Father God, yes? Amen? Okay. So we want to, then, I wonder if God laughs. Let's look at Psalms 2:4. Psalm 2:4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision, and in supreme contempt, he mocks them. Ha, ha, ha. Because it was talking about the enemy. The enemy was trying to come against, you know, the people of God. If you read that, and, you know, he's not bothered by it. He says, ha, he sits in the heavens and he laughs. And he says, oh boy, what are they trying to do? They think they're going to come against me. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that's what he's saying, but it says that in his supreme contempt, he mocks them. Because he's probably like, they really think they're going to be able to make it through me and conquer me? So he laughs in the heavens at the enemy, okay? Psalms 37:12. I have so many scriptures. I think this one took so long because I have so many scriptures. But I wanted you guys to have a good scriptural foundation, because I know this is a little, some people are a little, it's a little controversy, laughing in the spirit, allowing the spirit to flow through in laughter. So, and then Psalms 37:12-13, it says, the wicked plot against the uncompromisingly righteous, the upright and right standing with God. They gnash at them with their teeth. And the 13, the Lord laughs at the wicked. Oh, the Lord laughs at the wicked. Look at that. For he sees that their own day of defeat is coming. Come on, he's already got the plan. He says, oh, my people are set free. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, enemy, you're a funny guy. You thinking that you're going to come against my people. Ha, ha, ha. So, he says that the enemy is defeated. He sees the defeat coming. The Lord laughs at the enemy. Amen? All right. Let's look at one more. Psalms 59. In the Passion Translation. And all these say that in other translation, but this one just really gave extra oomph. So, I mean, it was like, oh, he laughs at the enemy. Or, I mean, it's just something, you know, it wasn't as, wanted a little more punch. 59, verse 7 through 10 says, boiling over with rage, shouting out their curses, the enemy, okay, was boiling over with rage, and he was using people, shouting their curses, convinced that they'll never get caught. But you, O Lord, break out laughing at their plans. I love this scripture. But you, Lord, break out laughing at their plans. I saw him just going, like on his throne, just laughing, amused. He's amused by their arrogance, scoffing at their sinful ways. My strength is found when I wait upon God. Verse 9. Watch over me, God, for you are my mountain fortress. You set me on high. Come on. The God of passionate love will meet with me. My God will empower me to rise in triumph over my foes. And then verse 16 and 17 in that same chapter says, But as for me, your strength will be my song of joy. At each and every sunrise, my lyrics of your love will fill the air. For you've been my glory fortress, a stronghold in my day of distress. Glory to God. So I just got to say, if God laughs, then his kids get to laugh. Come on. If God laughs, then he wants us to laugh at the enemy. Hallelujah. We imitate God. We imitate God. Did you know God sings over us? That's why we sing to him. We imitate God our Father. We imitate him because we are his children and we will imitate him. So the next time you're in your prayer closet or you're praying or you're worshiping and you're praising and God says, oh, you see the enemy's lying to you, making you feel like you're worthless. You see him saying that, you know, you're not going to get through this. You're not going to overcome. Then just laugh. He's just going to tell you to laugh. I just challenge you to surrender to that. Amen. To surrender the Spirit of God. I want you to stand. We're going to go out rejoicing. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to act on the word of God. Because I've already feel it in me, but I got to sing. So, but there's a time of rejoicing. And sometimes by faith, you just got to go, ha, 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 ha. You're trying to depress me. Ha, 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 ha. You tried to say I'm not going to get that house. Ha, 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 ha. You tried to say that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. My kid's never going to walk with the Lord. Ah, ha, ha. You got to be kidding me. You know what? Sometimes we got to tell the devil, oh, you know, he wants to say, what's going to happen? But what about this? And what about that? Then you want to stop and say, yeah, but what about the end time for you? What's going to happen when Jesus comes? Yeah. What's that? What about that? Oh, you don't want to talk about that? I want to talk about it because I want to laugh about it because you're going to be utterly defeated. Right? But he doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to talk about your defeat. But it can't happen because God, whoever God calls blessed is blessed. The enemy can't reverse it. Amen. He cannot reverse it.